Live from the heart of America, the center of the No Panic Zone here on the Chicken Ranch. I'm Steve. We're good to have you here as we defend freedom. Every single day we fight for it, defend it. Freedom of speech and everything else. That's right. That's what we're trying to do here today. Three big things you need to know right now. Number one, is Iowa becoming the brightest red state in the northern half of the country? Well, yes. Some would say that it certainly is. Number two, the water crisis growing here and around the world. In fact, it could become the biggest commodity in the history of the world. And number three, Trump derangement syndrome. The far-left fantasy of arresting the former president has been slammed into the rocks once again. Golly, that's just so too bad. They want him in prison so bad. They don't have a case, of course. But they spend their time fantasizing about perp walks and mugshots, handcuffs, and degrading 74 million Americans. That's what they want. They want to degrade 74 million Americans. Scream and carry on. Well, it didn't work out so well. Once again, the DA, Alvin Bragg in D.C., well, a letter appeared. A letter appeared proving that there's nothing here. Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA, doing everything he could. But in the grand jury on Monday, Robert Costello, a legal advisor to Donald Trump's former attorney, Michael Cohen, who is supposed to be the star witness, is Cohen. A star witness who has been a disbarred attorney and spent time in federal prison for perjury. Well, his legal advisor, Robert Costello, told the grand jury that Cohen's a serial liar, that he had gotten the $130,000 to pay Stormy Daniels from a home equity loan, his own, known as a HELOC, right? And that was backed up by a letter that was released yesterday, a letter written to the Federal Elections Commission by Stephen Ryan. Stephen Ryan was an attorney for Michael Cohen. In the letter to the FEC, Ryan spelled out that the money given to Stormy Daniels was a private transaction between Cohen and Daniels and explained clearly on February the 8th, 2018, just over 5 years ago, that Donald Trump was neither a party to the transaction or had any knowledge of the transaction and didn't reimburse Cohen for the transaction of the $130,000. There is no case here. No case at all. And yet they persist. Russell Brand, liberal, bit of a whack job sometimes. It's all right. He destroys the entire pursuit of Donald Trump over this non-disclosure agreement paid to Stormy Daniels by his attorney. Bite number six. Listen to this. Bite six. Go.
So here we're going to unpack the similarities between presumed charges that Trump might face and the allegations already made about the Clinton campaign. Last year, the Federal Election Commission fined the Clinton campaign for funding the Steele dossier as a legal expense. Okay, so they were found guilty of doing that because they were fined. The campaign had previously denied funding the dossier, which was used to push false Russia collusion claims against Trump in 2016, and it buried the funding in the campaign's legal budget. Yet there was no hue and cry for this type of prosecution in Washington or New York. What you've got to ask then is, where is power centralized and what decisions are being made? Why is this instance being pursued and investigated and prosecution being made on this basis, while in this instance, the Democrat Party instance, a fine was issued? This is obviously speculative because I can't obviously know, but it seems like whatever Trump is, his interests are not in alignment with those forces, because if those forces were neutral, they would be prosecuting in both instances. They have selected not to. I'm sure you could get someone, a talking head, likely on MSNBC or whatever, to say, oh, these are the distinctions, this is why it's different. But doesn't it seem at this point that centralized establishment power is more in alignment with figures like Clinton and Biden and Obama than it is with peculiar outliers like Donald Trump? And once again, I'm not a person that would ever vote for Donald Trump or believes that Donald Trump is the solution. But what's clear is that Donald Trump is some sort of antagonist to centralized power, that money and time is being spent on indicting Donald Trump that isn't being spent on indicting the Democratic Party. That is a difference. What does that difference tell you?
What does that difference tell you, Russell? Brand is right. He's right on it right there. What does that difference tell you? Think about that. There's something wrong. There's something wrong when there's two sets of standards, or one side has no standards at all. Anyhow, the left embarrassed again. Should be embarrassed anyway. Oh, they were all drooling. I mean, just absolutely drooling over the possibility of a perp walk for Donald Trump. They thought they had him. We've got him this time. We've got him this time. No. No, you don't. All right, so here's something that crossed the wire, shifting gears now. I don't even know how this is possible. But apparently, the Department of Justice is quietly trying to orchestrate a taxpayer-funded bailout of Moderna. The United States government's argument taking on Moderna's liability is misuse of the law, says a former federal judge. In a surprise filing last month, U.S. Attorney David Weiss issued a statement of interest in the case on behalf of the Department of Defense and the Department of Health and Human Services, invoking a rarely used early 1900s law to argue that the federal government should take on any liability for patent infringement Moderna may be guilty of related to the development of the COVID-19 vaccine. So Moderna cheated somewhere, and they want us to pay for it. Real quickly, Bite 7, listen to this. Bite 7.
Mr. Benzel, Moderna recently paid NIH $400 million. Do you believe it creates a conflict of interest for the government employees who are making money now off of the vaccine to also be dictating the policy about how many times we have to take the vaccine?
Good morning, Senator. Indeed, we recently made, before Christmas last year, a $400 million payment to the NIH for an old patent that they had developed, not related to COVID, but useful in the development of a COVID vaccine to pay them for their work. It's for the U.S. government to assess how that money should be used.
Do you think it creates a conflict of interest for the same people deciding the policy of how often we have to take the vaccine to also be making money the more times we take the vaccine? Yes or no?
This is for the government to decide, Senator.
You have no opinion on whether or not it creates a conflict of interest. Is there a higher interest or a higher incidence of myocarditis among adolescent males 16 to 24 after taking your vaccine?
So thank you for the question, Senator. First, let me say we care deeply about safety and we're working closely with the CDC and the FDA to
pretty much a yes or no. Is there a higher incidence of myocarditis among boys 16 to 24 after they take your vaccine?
The data I've seen from the CDC actually shown that there's less myocarditis for people who get the vaccine versus who get COVID infection.
You're saying that for ages 16 to 24 among males who take the COVID vaccine, their risk of myocarditis is less than people who get the disease?
That is my understanding, sir.
That is not true, and I'd like to enter into the record 6 peer-reviewed papers from the Journal of Vaccine.
Anyhow, you get the point. This is the same Moderna. Rand Paul destroying the CEO of Moderna.
I also spoke with your president just last week, and he readily.
Rand Paul destroying the CEO of Moderna right there. And now Joe Biden and this administration want to bail out Moderna and pay the bills because they infringed and stole information from other companies? Please, make it stop. I'll be back on the Steve Gruber Show.
Tomorrow is happening right now. Today, more than ever, the world needs safe, secure, sustainable, and affordable sources of energy. That's why Enbridge is advancing new technologies to reduce emissions, like carbon capture and hydrogen power. By putting in the work today, we're bridging to a cleaner energy future. Tomorrow is on. Enbridge. Life takes energy.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
I have held the same mirror for 13 years.
I have been decorated with purple dinosaurs, baseball teams, and football helmets.
I have witnessed 33 Thanksgiving dinners and one wedding proposal.
I have tiny notches marking the growth of 3 children.
I have caused a learning disability.
I am the reason that a 5th grader simply can't sit still.
I am responsible for a 5-year-old's rage.
Just because you can't see lead paint doesn't mean it's not on walls, doors, windows, and sills. Today, lead paint poisoning affects over 1 million children. If your home is built before 1978, your family could be at risk. Let's make all kids lead-free kids. Log on to leadfreekids.org or call 800-424-LEAD.
I am the reason a child has trouble hearing.
If your walls could talk, what would they say?
Brought to you by the Coalition to End Childhood Lead Poisoning, EPA, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Now, everything you were going to do someday is on the calendar. Introducing a new day of the week. Someday. Want to retire someday? You'll want a My Social Security account to help you get ready. Get yours at socialsecurity.gov.
You with the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine. Not really.
Buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.